Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Today is World Communion Sunday. It's a day when we break bread with other disciples of Jesus Christ from across the globe. It's a day when we each step to the table to share in a common cup. Not literally, but figuratively, don't worry. It's a day when we all gather at a table and commit to change. It's a day when we remember our baptism and we recommit to the mission of Jesus Christ that has been set before us, which, as we know, really only calls us to do two things: to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But before we commit to the change, it seems somehow important to at least understand that which in the world needs to change. In other words, it makes sense to look around for a moment at what might need to change. Have you driven through the countryside lately? Sure, not everyone has a car or the time or the freedom to be able to do so, but for those who have you taken advantage of it? This is the time of year to do it. Nothing against anywhere else in the world, but there are few places quite as beautiful as upstate New York in the fall. Most of the time. A couple of weeks ago, I was leaving my home early on a Saturday morning to go and visit a member of the congregation whose husband had just died. And as they live out in the country, it afforded me the opportunity for a little drive, something that I was quite looking forward to. And at first, it was everything that I had hoped. The sun was shining, the rolling hills could be seen there in the distance. And the trees, though they hadn't begun to change, had a kind of expectant majesty about them. And then I passed a yard filled with dozens of little flags, half American, half Confederate. And looking upon the house, I noticed other flags as well, some from the 2020 election, some in anticipation of 2024. But the one that couldn't help but catch my eye was right there in the very center and made me glad that my children were not with me. Maybe you've seen one like it. Three simple lines: expletive, politician; expletive, vice politician; and expletive, you too. Now, being a good Methodist, I had to look up that word. But even I knew it wasn't a compliment. Far from it. Friends, how did we get here? Look, we've always had disagreements as a country about the way our government ought to be run, about whether the center of power should be in the states or at the federal level, about how we ought to be connecting with one another through regulation and taxation, and even the limits of a free market. That's been there since the very beginning, since the very founding of our republic. But let's be honest, can you think of another time in which a flag like that would have been even remotely acceptable? No. How did we get here? When did this become normal? Because let's be honest, it has. Sure, not everybody's as bold as to put it on a flag, but that sentiment is out there, and not just on one side of the political aisle. When did we start hating each other? Seems important to ask, because it is preventing us from doing almost anything as a country, as a community. We can't even agree on the things we agree on. Look, very few of us want our planet to die off. or our children to have to hide under their desks for fear of gun violence, or for women to not be able to choose what happens with their own bodies, or for people of color to have to look over their shoulders, or our LGBTQ siblings to not be able to be who God created them to be, or people seeking asylum to be treated like animals, or anyone in this world to go hungry. But that is where we find ourselves, isn't it? None of us want to be here, but here's where we are. And we keep looking around, pointing our fingers, saying it's everybody else's problem, or worse, giving in to the apathy. Sure, a little outrage every once in a while, but mostly we just give in to that malaise which seems to have fallen over all of us. Just apathy. Well, what can you do? Even we, as people of faith, have seemed to just accept the status quo. Sure, we're happy to love our neighbor so long as we can make sure we know who that is, so long as we can choose who counts and forget about loving our enemies. No, we've just accepted the world as it is because it is, forgetting what could be. It makes sense, doesn't it? After all, we spend 1 hour a week or so in church, which leaves, of course, 167 other hours in the week to worship at the unholy temple of Fox News or MSNBC, both of which offer a constant sermon, but none of which offer truth. But in the end, it is only the truth that will set us free. To be clear, if Fox News or MSNBC or that daily diatribe you post on Twitter or Facebook or wherever else is allowing you to love your neighbor as yourself, then keep doing it. But if it is not, then we owe it to this world as people of faith to change the channel. How did we get here? When did this become normal? Look, we're not the first people of faith to ask the question. Look at the ancient world, to the Hebrew brothers and sisters. They too struggled with their government. Only for them, their government and their religion were tied together, both corrupting each other. Not that they didn't have people pointing out the problems. We need only read through the prophets. Think of Jeremiah. Only prophets weren't any more welcome then than they are today. One wonders the kind of emails Jeremiah might receive today. It makes sense, doesn't it? It's a lot easier to pretend like we don't really have a problem, like it's someone else's problem, to point our fingers somewhere else. Only as some of us have learned the hard way, just ignoring a problem doesn't make it go away. The Hebrew people learned that. For them, it took the collapse of their entire society. One wonders what it will take for us. In 586 BCE, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple and took all of the elites into captivity. And the few who were left behind were taking a look around and asking themselves that hard question, how did we get here? How did we get here? Our scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Lamentations, but in the Hebrew, the book has a different name. It is simply translated as How. It comes from the very first line, how lonely sits the city that was once filled with people. If you've never read through Lamentations, it's a quick read, 5 chapters, beautiful little chapters, poetically written, that take place from the point of view of someone walking through the streets of the empty Jerusalem and just lamenting at what once was. Lamenting the loss of life, of livelihood, of hope. Lament is important. healthy even. It's different than complaining. We've gotten really good at that as a society, but complaining is about holding something at arm's length. That is to say, you've done something wrong over there. The difference between that and lament is simple. Lament has a personal connection to it. That is, in lament, we see ourselves as a part of the loss. And unlike complaining, it is not an end in and of itself. No, lament always is designed to lead us somewhere, to take us somewhere on that journey towards transformation. It is but one stop on that journey, don't you see? We're not supposed to be here. We don't have to be here. What is not what has to be. That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not normal to put flags in your yard that are basically a middle finger. And as a people of faith, it is our job to stand up against it. It is our job to do something different. Today we have a chance. It's World Communion Sunday, which means we can gather at this table and commit to change. We can commit to changing at this table, not just the world, but ourselves, to recognize that if we want the world to change, we have to change the way we live within it. That means changing the channel. It means changing our relationships. It means transforming our lives into what they could be. You don't have to take communion. None of us do. But if we come to the table, if we partake, then maybe we owe it to each other to at least mean what it is that we're doing. We owe it to each other to say, no, today I am going to try. Not that we won't struggle from time to time. We all do. None of us are perfect. But today, when we come forward, let us take communion and take a chance on change. Let us leave this place carrying the banner of love. Sure, you can't put it on a flag and post it on your house. But if we were all to commit to carrying that flag with us into the world wherever we go, it wouldn't just change our drives, it would change our lives. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.